In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Christ is in our midst. One of the most common questions we ask or we wonder amongst ourselves when pondering on the afterlife is, what is heaven going to be like? And honestly, all too often we give answers that are rather shallow and not very compelling. Golden gates sitting on clouds, playing harps, dressed in white. We have these images put forth by movies and literature, and frankly, a lot of our false beliefs on what heaven will be like, or even what heaven is due to poor catechism. That's our fault. But in today's gospel, we hear of the familiar parable of the king or a ruler putting on a banquet and the excuses of those who are invited. Now, this needs a little bit of background, and we can get that from the verse directly preceding the gospel as we heard it today, from Luke 14, verse 15. Today's gospel started at verse 16. And it reads, "And one of those who sat at table with Jesus said to him, 'Blessed is he who shall feast in the kingdom of God.'" The presumption here for the average Jew at the time was that the banquet in the kingdom of God was for Jews and Jews only, which is why Jesus spoke this parable. But it's the image of a banquet that was really one of the most common imagery and understanding of what heaven would be like. Know this also for some historical background. On the significance of this parable, we have to understand that in Palestine at the time, when a man made a feast, the day was announced long beforehand, and the invitations were sent out and accepted. But the hour was not yet announced. And when the day came and all things were ready, servants were sent out to summon the already invited guests. To accept the invitation beforehand and then refuse it when the day came was a grave insult. This is why we can better understand the ruler's reaction in today's parable. In this parable about the great banquet, the man who gives the feast is God the Father, which he gives on behalf of his Son, Jesus Christ, who is sacrificed. The servant who is sent is none other than Christ himself, who appears in the form of a humble servant, though he is the very Son of God. The invitation to come to the supper is a signal that in Christ, the gifts of the kingdom have been prepared for everybody. And of course, after they've been prepared, this is the point where everyone offers their excuses as to just why they cannot come to the banquet, trying to offer legitimate excuses for such an insulting offense in reneging their accepting of the invitation. The first man said he had bought a field and was going to see it. He therefore allowed the claims of business to usurp the claims of God. The second man said that he had bought 5 yoke of oxen and that he was going to try them out. He let the claims of materialism or novelty usurp the claims of God. The third man, unlike the first two, does not ask to be excused, but he outright says that he cannot come because I have married a wife. Now, this needs a little background. The third man is not saying, my wife won't let me come to the party. But rather, he is aware of an old Jewish law from Deuteronomy that says when a man is newly married, he shall not go out with the army or be charged with any business. He shall be free at home for 1 year to be happy with his wife. The problem is, the man is not called to duty or business, but he's called to a feast, to a celebration, to this banquet. So actually, this man is abusing the law, and even his claim of family usurped the claims of God. When the servant reports the excuses offered by those invited, the Lord commands him to go to the highways and bring in the poor and maimed and blind and lame. These people represent the Jewish people apart from the religious elite at the time. And when there is still room in the banquet, the Lord sends him out into the city, outside of the city, representing the Gentiles, those outside of Israel, therefore fulfilling Jesus' desire to reach all nations. But the truth is, each one of these men who offered excuses thought themselves too busy for the banquet, too busy to follow through on their invitation. I'm too busy. This is a phrase we've started hearing from younger and younger people in recent times. And I know we live in a day and age where our schedules seem to fill up ever so quickly, and sometimes being busy can be seen as a good thing. But sometimes, perhaps being busy that word busy is actually an acronym, B-U-S-Y, being under Satan's yoke. Like the three men who offered excuses to miss the banquet, it's still possible for us even today to be so immersed in this world that we claim to have no time to worship, and even no time to pray. Perhaps we enter into new possessions and become so taken up with them that the claims of worship and of God get crowded out. Maybe we acquire a new car or a new boat or take up a new hobby and we find ourselves saying things like, "We used to go to church on Sunday, but now we go off to the beach for the day." Or, "It's really the only day to get away." It is perilously easy for a new game, a new hobby, even a new relationship to take up even the time that should be kept for God. Know this, when we make excuses to not attend the banquet of God's kingdom that we are invited to, it's not merely us excusing ourselves, but we are outright rejecting the banquet. And we don't attend the banquet out of obligation or out of guilt or out of some kind of personal identity. We attend the banquet because we can think of no better way to spend our lives. We attend the banquet because, not because we are afraid of the Master, but because we have fallen in love with the Master. Our Lord does not impose himself into our lives. He does not impose himself into our time, but he does invite us into his life, in his love. What could possibly be greater? And we have all been invited. No longer is the understanding of this heavenly banquet the old Judaic understanding of it being for a certain chosen people, but it is for all those who choose Christ. And in choosing to be under Christ's yoke, the good news is, as he tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." The good news is we are constantly getting invited to our Lord's banquet at every Sunday and countless other times throughout the year, whenever the divine liturgy is being celebrated. We are given countless invitations to rid ourselves from the curse of busy, being under Satan's yoke, and can choose to attend the glorious banquet of our Lord. I assure you, there is no better way to know what heaven is like than to experience it firsthand here and now. To God be the glory, now and forever, to the ages of ages. Amen.